Welcome in. Today we're dialing in a super important old school drum and bass mixing skill, center image discipline. This is one of those sounds like a record moves, even on a simple loop. Here's the big idea. Classic jungle and early DNB hit so hard because the center of the mix is disciplined. The kick, the snare, the sub, and the main bass weight are basically the spine. They stay solid, stable, and mostly mono. Then all the rave energy and movement comes from the edges. Hats, rides, break texture, reverbs, atmospheres, little effects to tails. So we're going to lock the punch dead center, but still keep the mix exciting and wide. By the end, you'll have a clean Ableton setup with a drum bus and a bass bus, a break that's wide on top but centered on the low punch, a mono safe sub, a controlled reese, and returns that create width without wrecking the core. Alright. Step 0. Quick session setup. Set your tempo to somewhere between 165 and 172 BPM. If you want a default, pick 170. Now make these tracks, kick, snare, break as a stereo loop, hats or top loops, sub, reese or mid bass, pads or atmos, and an FX track for impacts, risers, noise, whatever. Then group your drums into a drum bus, and group your bass tracks into a bass bus. That bus structure matters, because discipline is easier when you can control a family of sounds together. Also, it's way more real world. Most good mixes aren't a bunch of random tracks doing their own thing. They're organized into sections. Now step 1. Decide your center spine. Old school rule of thumb. If it's punch and weight, it's center. If it's sparkle and space, it can be wide. So kick is mono. Snare is mono or nearly mono. Sub below roughly 120 Hz is mono. No debate. Reese low end. Mono-ish. And the break slow mid punch should feel mostly centered too. Then hats, rides, shakers, air, reverb tails, pads, atmos, those can live wider. Think of the center as the thing that survives any playback system. Club mono sums, phone speakers, sketchy Bluetooth, whatever. If your center is strong, your track feels confident everywhere. Step 2. Hard center the core drums. Kick and snare. On your kick track, drop an Ableton utility. Set width to 0%. That forces mono. Then just check the level. Because sometimes monoing a sample changes perceived loudness slightly. Adjust utility gain if needed, but don't chase volume too early. Just keep it sensible. On the snare track, same move. Utility, width somewhere from 0 to about 30%. If you want very classic, go to 0. If the snare suddenly feels smaller and you're tempted to widen it again, don't. That's the trap. Old DNB trick is, keep the snare crack centered and get the size from sends. Wide reverb. Not wide snare. That keeps your impact intact. Step 3. Tame the break. This is where a lot of beginner mixes fall apart, because breaks are often stereo, uneven, and facey. You want solid center punch, with controlled stereo fizz on top. Start on the break track with EQ8. If you've got rumble, do a gentle high pass around 30 to 40 Hz. Don't carve the life out of it, just remove sub garbage. Then set EQ8 to mid/side mode. Even if you don't do anything dramatic yet, you're thinking in the right direction, what's allowed in the middle versus the sides. After that, add utility as a mono anchor. Set width around 70 to 100%. In other words, don't fully mono the entire break right away. We're going to be smarter than that. Now here's the key beginner-friendly method. Split the break into low and top. Duplicate your break track. Name one break TOP and the other break LOW. On break LOW, put EQ8 and low pass it around 150 to 250 Hz. Try 200 as a starting point. Use a fairly steep slope, like 24 dB per octave, so you're truly isolating the weight. Then put utility after that and set width to 0%. This is now your mono anchor for the break's thump and body. On break TOP, do the opposite. EQ8, high pass around the same frequency, 150 to 250, matching what you did on the low. Leave this one stereo. If it feels too narrow, you can push utility width a little, like 110 or 120, maybe 140 in extreme cases. But don't go crazy. The point is excitement, not seasickness. Now listen to the combined break. You should feel like the punch is stable and centered, but the crispy details dazz around the sides. That's extremely jungle-friendly. Quick coaching note here. Some stereo breaks lean left or right, like the snare crack is louder on one side. If that happens, before you start whitening anything else, fix the break. Put utility on the break and nudge the balance slightly until the snare feels centered. Tiny moves. Also, if the break body feels smeary, a small cut somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz can clean it up. Not a big scoop. just a little defog. Next, step 4, bass discipline, mono sub, controlled res width. On your sub track, put utility and set width to 0, always. Then add EQ 8 and low pass somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. Try 150. The goal is, this track is weight and fundamentals, not character. If the sub isn't translating on small speakers, don't add chorus, and don't widen it. Instead, add harmonics, drop in saturator, set drive maybe 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. Keep it subtle. You're not trying to hear distortion, you're trying to hear the sub's presence on smaller playback. If it gets fuzzy, back off the drive. You can even low pass again after saturation if it brought up too much top. Now the res or mid bass. This is where width and movement are allowed, but only above where the sub owns the bottom. On res, use EQ 8 and high pass around 80 to 120 Hz. If you want to be extra safe, 120. If the res still steps on the sub, push it up toward 150. Let the sub be the only boss down low. Then add utility. Start width around 60 to 100%. You can go a little wider on the drop later, but keep it contained for now. If you want that classic motion, add chorus ensemble or a very gentle facer flanger after the high pass. That order matters. High pass first, then modulation. Because stereo effects plus low frequencies equals unstable, wobbly drops and a bass that disappears in mono. One rule to memorize, any stereo effect on bass, high pass first. Step 5, create width the old school way. Returns, not widening the core. So instead of making the snare wide directly, we're going to send it to a wide room. Create two return tracks. Return A is your short room or plate. Put reverb on it. Decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds so your transient stays punchy. Low cut around 200 to 400 Hz, because low reverb mud kills center clarity. High cut somewhere like 7 to 12k, depending on how bright you want it. After the reverb, add utility and make this return wide. Width 120 to 160 is fine. This is a great place to spend your stereo, because it doesn't destabilize the kick and snare transient itself. It gives you size without making the hit blurry. Send your snare and tops to this. Return B is your long, ravey air. Reverb decay 2 to 4 seconds. Pre-delay 20 to 40 milliseconds. Low cut 300 to 600. Then add auto filter, maybe a band pass or high pass to keep it airy and out of the way. Then utility again, and push width 140 to 180 if it sounds good. Send pans and atmos here, occasional snare hits, effects. Teacher tip, when you mute your returns, your beat should still feel like a complete beat, just drier. If muting returns makes the groove collapse, you're relying on reverb instead of good balance and good center. That's a sign to pull your returns down and get the core hitting first. Optional advanced cleanup that helps a lot. Mid/side EQ on the reverb returns. After the reverb, put EQ 8 in M/S mode. In the mid channel, do a gentle low cut around 250 to 500. In the side channel, do an even higher low cut, around 400 to 800. That keeps the center clean while the sides stay pretty and airy. Step 6. Panning like a DJ mix. Simple and effective. Old school mixes aren't usually about everything swirling constantly. They're bold but minimal. Keep kick, snare, and sub dead center. Then hats can be slightly left or right, like 10 to 30. Perk loops might go 20 to 50. Tiny FX details can be hard left or hard right occasionally, especially for fills and transitions. And if something is fighting the center, like a noisy break that's messy, don't immediately widen other elements to compete. Clean the defender first. Center discipline is about control, not escalation. Step 7. Mono compatibility. This is mandatory. Put a utility on your master, but treat it as a checking tool. Set it up so you can mono check fast. Here's a workflow that actually gets used. Turn that utility off, and map a key or MIDI button to the device on /off switch. Now you can tap it while you're making decisions. When you check mono, listen for three things. Does the snare lose punch? If yes, reduce stereo on whatever is smearing it, usually break tops or reverb, and consider a mono safe snap layer. Does the break get hollow or disappear? If yes, your break tops might be doing weird phase stuff, or the break was too wide. Reduce width, or rely more on the split method and less on global widening. Does the bass level change dramatically? If yes, you've got stereo low end somewhere. Recheck your sub in mono, recheck res high pass, and make sure any modulation is only happening above the cutoff. Goal, in mono, it should still slap. Stereo is a bonus, not a requirement. Extra beginner safe loudness move. If your drums feel weaker after tightening the image, don't fix that by widening. Fix it by controlling dynamics. On the drum bus, try glue compressor. Attack 10 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2 to 1. Aim for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This often brings perceived punch forward while keeping the center stable. Step 8. Arrangement concept. Width grows with energy. Old school records often feel like they get wider when the drop hits, but the center stays consistent. So you automate specific things, not the whole mix. For bars 1 to 8, your intro or tease, keep drums mostly mono. Maybe filter the break. Keep reverb sends low. Keep atmos wide but quiet. Bars 9 to 16, the drop. Bring in full stereo tops. Increase snare send to the short room. Widen the reese a little, like 70 up to 100, and make effects wider on transitions. Automation targets that work really well. Return send amounts, utility width on tops and atmos, reverb decay or filters opening. And here's a classic jungle impact trick. Right before the drop, drop the sides. For the last half bar, dip the returns quickly. Maybe pull down your side hat layer if you made one. Then slam them back and on the downbeat. The center punches through and the drop feels bigger, even if you didn't actually change your kick or snare at all. A few common mistakes to avoid while you do all this. Don't widen the master to fix a narrow mix. That's like putting a wide-angle lens on a blurry photo. Fix width at the track and bus level. Don't keep stereo bass below about 120 Hz. It'll feel huge in headphones, then disappear or get weird in a club. Don't make the snare wide to make it big. Make the reverb wide. Keep the crack centered. Don't let breaks have uncontrolled low stereo. That's phase smear city. And don't make everything wide at once. If everything is wide, nothing feels wide, and the center gets weak. Now let's lock this in with a quick mini practice you can do in 15 to 25 minutes. Load a classic style break loop, something amen-ish or crunchy. Build a quick two-step groove. Kick on the 1, snare on the 2 and 4, and layer the break quietly underneath the kick and snare. Do the break split. Break LOW gets low pass around 200 and utility width 0. Break TOP gets high pass around 200 and stays stereo. Add your sub and reese. Sub is mono, low pass around 150. Reese is high passed around 120, width 70 to 100. Make the two returns, a short room or plate, and a longer rave air. This audio version is shortened for playback.